Alright, so we are on the top of Mem Hei Amud Beis. Notice that there's a very, very big run here. So we're gonna talk about it. I actually brought my article also because I want us to read. There's a note, a very long note in there that I want us to look at together. I think it'll help us understand a little bit what's going on here. It takes a lot of that of the explanation from the run, but I think it's a very, you know, a pretty clear way of helping us here. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ashutfin. So shutfin are two people who jointly own something. Shutfin jointly own something. They're partners, and they took hana. They took nidarim hana zemizet. So the gemara, look at the mefarish, tells you already. Hashutfin shenadru hana zemizet. Mefarish the gemara ibn nidro ibn hadiro. Who takes the nether? Who took the nether? How did this get set up? The Gemara is going to explain more. What's the case? How exactly do you understand the case? So we'll see. Like, did they both take the nether? Did one person take the nether about the other person? Did one person take the nether about himself? Did each take the nether about themselves? We'll have to see. But so that part we're gonna see. So what happens in such a case? So asur likanes lechatzer. So they're forbidden to go into the chatzer. What do you mean the chatzer? So first of all, it is possible that two people could just own a chatzer together. That's possible, you own a field together. But typically what would happen in, you know, this is Mount of the Gemara, so people owned houses and they didn't have like their own backyard. Their backyard would be a shared backyard, right? So it wouldn't be, in the chatzer was actually a place, not just where you would, you know, I don't know, play catch. It was a place where you had like, you would do work. You could, you know, work on your, you know, I don't know, whatever things you needed to do, you did them outside in the chatzer. It was like a workspace for people very often. They had to do laundry or they had to do, other types of handiwork. They would do it out in the chatzer. So the assumption here is that they both own the chatzer together. Let's say they have back-to-back houses and they have one backyard, let's say. And they took a neder, or someone took a neder, that they're each forbidden to each other, right? And that chatzer is owned by both of them. So every time I walk into the chatzer, whose chatzer am I walking into? You say, okay, so that's part of the question, right? Am I walking into my own chatzer? I own the chatzer, right? Or am I walking into the other person's chatzer? Well, if I'm walking into my own chatzer, then I'd be permissible for me to go into that chatzer because it's mine. If it's the other person's chatzer, it's forbidden for me to go into the chatzer because it's belong to him. So what do you do with a chatzer that belongs to both of us at the same time? How do we determine whether it's mine, whether it's yours, whether I can go in, I can't go in? So the Tanakhama holds that Hashutfin Shinadru Hana Zemiza Asurin Likares Tachatzer. They are forbidden to go into the chatzer. Take a look at the Mefarish Asurin Likares Tachatzer. Bechatzer Shal Shneihem. Right, it's a chatzer belongs to both of them. The Kol Chad Aser Bedrisas Haregal Shal Chavero. Each one is forbidden to be in the, or forbids the other person from Drisas Regal, from walking through their own chatzer. I took a nether that you're not allowed to get benefit from me. So that means you took a nether not to get benefit from me. But either way, you're forbidden to walk in my chatzer because that's getting benefit. We'll see, is that really true? How much benefit is that really? Okay. And says that the Mefarish, because Savar Ein Brera. Okay, and this is what we're going to talk about for a few minutes here. The assumption of the Tanakh is that the Tanakhama holds Ein Brera. The Imur Hai Lechalik Chavera Ayal, Vahai Lechalik Chavera Ayal. Because you could argue Brera is a concept which basically means that if there's a lack of clarity about who owns, let's say in this case, the different parts of the chatzer, right? So can I say that right now I'm walking in this area and later on we're going to determine that this part is really my chatzer and that part, you know, this part's really your chatzer, your part of the chatzer. And then later when we really separate them, it'll be clear that each one was really, this part is really yours, this part is really mine. And even though we haven't separated yet, yesh breira, right? We're able to say it, yeah, but eventually when we clarify, it'll become clear that all along it was, this part was really mine, that part is really yours, in which case we didn't walk in each other's yards. Or do we say no, as long as we haven't yet made that separation, we haven't distinguished whose area is whose, I can't say, what do you mean, you know, retroactively it'll be clear that really that was mine. We didn't make a decision yet. And therefore we can't make that conclusion. We're going to see a little more about that definition in a second.
Is it possible that purpose of introducing Brera to nullify the neder or to clarify the neder as far
to
as
clarify.
To clarify.
Yeah, we're not trying to nullify. The neder is what the neder is.
Okay.
It already
okay.
exists. The question is, what do we do? How do we determine? Right? In all these cases of, it's all continues to confirm why you shouldn't take neder. Fine, but that could end the masechta for now, right? But what we continue to find ourselves, you know, the situation we continue to find ourselves, all these cases is, I'm paralyzed by the neder. I don't know what to do. Am I allowed? Am I not allowed? Where do I go? How do I function? And so this is another Mishnah trying to help the person who has either taken the neder, had a neder taken about them, figure out how to function. So the Tanakhama says, I'll tell you how to function. You can't go into the chatzer because we're so worried you're going to violate the neder that you can't go in. Okay, as opposed to your Blazman Yaakov, Omer, Zed nechnas atoch shalom, v'zed nechnas atoch shalom. Blazman Yaakov says, no, each person can go into his own area. Okay, so if it was obvious which area was his own area, so then there would be nothing to talk about if it was cut in half, so there wouldn't be a shiloh. So rather, so what does that mean? So it says the Mefarish, the Lezman Yaakov is Omer Zed Nechnas V'chulei, the Kasavar Yesh Breira. Right, he holds Yesh Breira, and therefore, when I go on this side and you go on that side, so we can consider it as if already it's been like when we later on are going to be able to clarify that. So it'll be, we'll find out, like Lemafrei, it'll be turned out that we were each in our own area. Right, and that's why it will turn out that I didn't. If I'm walking in that space, it must be that's going to be the space to be confirmed to be my space. In which case, I'm not going to violate the nether because I was really. It turns out I was in my space all along, basically. So take a look at. Just finish this piece. But both of them, this everyone agrees that neither of them is allowed to set up a mill or an oven or to raise chickens in that chatzer. These are good examples of things that people do in their chatzer, right? So the real serious things. They're not just like, So it sounds like, and we'll have to see as we move along, that both are not allowed to make use of the chatzer for these things because it is, it presumably belongs, partially at least belongs to the other person. Fine. If you take a look at the Ran on Men Vav Amen Aleph, where it says Yushneim Asur, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 lines down, he writes Yushneim Asur Nahamir Yechayim V'tanam Regal V'tanagolim, the Afagav Darminim V'perek Chesas Abatim, even though we see in Bava Basra, the Shutfin HaHamada Kedi Lo Kapte, people who are partners, you know, typically on just someone placing something in their field, and I'm Makbid, can I keep my oven in your field? Can I keep my little chicken coop? People are usually not so makbid, just to keep something there. But nevertheless, if they are makbid and they say, meaning typically they're not makbid, they don't care. People usually don't mind. But if you find out someone is makbid, so then since we share it, you can say, you know what, actually, I prefer that no one leave anything in the courtyard. You're allowed to say that. But alpha be shadarkan levater vitor usher. And even though a person can typically, you know, let it go, basically live out there, a person can say, yeah, it's fine, I don't mind. Vitor, the idea of letting someone, you know, letting it slide, doesn't work when it comes to mudahana. If you took a nether, the person can't get a benefit from you. You can't now sit and classify it on a mud. No, you said you do mind, you took a nether. Right? So that's not, you can't, vitor doesn't work once you have already taken a nether. Fine. So take a look in the Ran, Amem Hamad base. To understand this a little bit better, and he writes the following. And we'll start in the round itself, and then we'll switch in a minute to the note because I think it'll help clarify a little bit. So he writes the following: Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer Zed Nichnas Tov Shalom Zed Nichnas Tov Shalom. So keep them the Gemara later on here is going to say Bechatzer She'ein Badin Chaluka. They were talking about a chatzer that can't really be split up. But a chatzer She'ish Badin Chaluka, a chatzer that can be split. Divrei Hakol Aser. Then for sure, this is, you know, everyone agrees no one can walk in that field because everyone should otherwise have split it up, right, into different areas. Uperek shor shenagas esapara and bavakama ukimna pluktayu beyesh brera or ein brera. There, that gemara in bavakama says, quotes this machlokas, the Tanakam and Rosman Yaakov, and says, what's this machlokas about? This machlokas must be about the question of brera. Okay. The Rebbe Elazar savar yesh breira v'haydel de nafshe ka'ayah v'haydel de nafshe ka'ayah, because Rebbe Elazar holds yesh breira, and therefore each person, when he walks through a section of the field, that's going to be my section, right? And that's, so therefore, it's no problem. V'rabbanan savar ayin breira, but the Rabbanan say, what are you talking about? Right now, we don't know. It still belongs to everybody. So as long as I'm using it, I'm using mine, but I'm also using yours, and I have a neder that I'm not allowed to use your area. Fine. Fine. So take a look in the note in the art scroll on the bottom there. I'll tell you where we found really good. Take a look on 45B1. First of all, take a look in note two, where he notes, now people generally, see where I am? Mm-hmm. Now generally people do not mind when others merely walk through the cart. We've seen this before, right? Situations where people are allowed to actually, even if you're mudahana, the person isn't allowed to be there, so they can walk through just to get to their courtyard, they can walk through to get the pair of shvias we talked about that time, right? Just to get them that people are typically allowed to make use of someone else's field, forgetting a hana, just in general, because people don't care, you're just using basic access, right? And thus the benefit of entering a courtyard is considered an indulgence. It's just like something that with which an owner would ordinarily indulge his fellow gratuitously. Nevertheless, the Tana forbids the partners to enter their jointly owned courtyard because he maintains that even a common gratuity is forbidden to one prohibited by a neder from benefit. That's sort of the point we mentioned before, right? That even though usually a person doesn't really care, yeah, but now that you made a neder, so now every amount of benefit becomes also. But now this second point. So on the opinion of Elazar and Yaakov, each one can go in their own area. So he writes, they write the following. Look all the way to the third paragraph there. This we mentioned from the round itself. Thus, according to Elazar and Yaakov, when a yard is owned by partners, the share that each one eventually receives can be said to have been exclusively his all along, right? That's Yesh Breira. Now, if the partner's yard is too small to be physically divisible, their ownership is divided in segments of time. That is, each of them is deemed to own the entirety of the yard for the times that he uses it. And whenever each of them enters the yard, it is determined retroactively that when he became a partner, he acquired fully the right to tread there at this particular moment. He is accordingly regarded as entering his own domain and not his fellows. And Yerushalmi Yaakov would say this. I.e., he's utilizing a property right that is inherently his own, and not gratuitously using his partner share. It's like a timeshare. Yeah, it's like a timeshare, right? So you go into the timeshare right now, it's mine, but a different week, it's yours, right? And then you're both going to want to sell it and can't get out of it. Fine, different term. According to the rabbis, however, there's no retroactive determination as to each partner's share of ownership, and thus the shares are legally deemed as mingled. Consequently, whenever one of them enters the yard, he's using land that belongs to his in part. To his partner from whom he's prohibited benefit. One may nevertheless wonder why, according to the rabbis, he should be forbidden by neder from entering the yard. Clearly, his partner does not have the legal right to prevent him from entering the yard, for his own part ownership entitles him to enter whenever he pleases. This is a very important point, right? You're right, I'm going into your field also, but it is also my field. So I, by definition, I have the right to go in.
Even when the other person is there.
Right, forgetting the neder. Right? forgetting the neder. Meaning, in general, we both own it. If we both own it, that means we both use it, right? So it means we both have use all the time, right? Forgetting even the time difference case, right? But like, let's just say in general, we both always have the ability to go in. So you take a net, you can't use my field. That's okay. I'm allowed in because it's my field, right? It's not like all of a sudden you have a house and I can't come into your house. It's always been the example before. Now this is, you're forbidding me from my property. It's kind of strange if you think about it, right? So this is why this is an important point.
But it doesn't matter if you bought it in contemplation of splitting it up versus we're just always going to share it always.
That might make a difference. It's a good question. That's probably the question of whether it has din chalukah or not.
Right.
Is it something that can be divided in general or something that you owe? But these chatzeros were typically never meant to be divided, I think. I think the point is that these are things that were typically shared. Or at least this, it's a shutfin. They're shutfin. That means that they own it together, That's part of the point.
We're right. I think it says here that the premise is that it's too small to be divisible.
Yes,
right?
Yes, in this case also.
As you said before, otherwise right. Then even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree with the Rabbanim.
Just split it in half. Right, correct. Right, good. Right, so the point is that's one that is co-owned and co-used. That's the point. Since the right to enter is something that he himself owns, the partner should be able to deprive him of it through neder. For one cannot forbid another person's possessions upon that person, right? It's my field. How do you forbid me from my own field? Similarly, when each party declares a neder forbidding himself benefit from his fellow's possessions, it should not prevent him from entering the yard, for since he has no inherent right to use it, when he enters it, he is actually exercising his own right to the property. Thus, even if we can see that the physical shares are mingled, the rabbi should allow each partner to enter the yard on account of his own personal right to use whatever he desires. So how do you explain that? It's a very good point. So the Ron explains as follows. When a property is owned by partners, although each may enter whatever he pleases, it is obviously impossible to say that each owns the property in its entirety, right? I don't own it all. You don't both own all of it. That's not true. Furthermore, if we deny the validity of Brera, we cannot say that each owns it for the time that he uses it, since this would require us to say that it is determined retroactively that from the outset, each acquired the property for this specific period of time. Okay, if you hold in Brera, right, so you can't say like, oh, it turns out that was my time or that was my area. Rather, according to the rabbis who deny the validity of Brera, we must distinguish between ownership of the essence of the property and the right to use the property. Meaning, there's a difference between I own the property itself or I have purchased or I have permission to use. That is, we must say that each of the partners has a permanent undefined share in the essence of the property and additionally has a lien on his fellow share that gives him the right to use the entire property, including his fellow's undefined share, whenever the need arises. The lien precludes the fellow from preventing his use of the property from a legal standpoint. All right, so I sort of own fundamentally the property, and I also have a lien on your use. And each one has that for each other. However, since there's a principle that konamos mafkin mide shibud, like konam prohibitions override, like nidarm, override liens, if the share of one partner is declared konam upon the other, the one subject to the nether may not enter the property since the nether denies him the ability to utilize his lien of his fellow share. Right? A little complicated. All right, but the point being that each one, what we have to explain now, and this is why I wanted to read it in here because it's hard enough to understand, right? But that, right? So just to clarify, to make it clear, right? His point is that each of the partners has a permanent, undefined share in the essence, not the whole thing, but each person owns fundamentally the property and a lien on the other person's use of using the whole property.
It's almost like an easement.
Okay, explain what that means, please.
Meaning like you have...
I love you guys here.
You own your house, but you also have, like, you have a right to use, like if there's a field and you may have an easement that allows you to walk through somebody else's field,
okay, because
that's a passageway. That's what it's a lien, but it seems like it's an easement. In addition to your inherent right in this thing.
But isn't the same the other way around?
Simultaneous ownership and easement, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, both people have that on each other.
But it's saying it the other way around. That yes, but... You can't use it because it's not yours. You have a lien on the other guy's property.
No, it's stronger than a lien because you could say basically to the other person, you can't use it.
Right.
So it's stronger than
the liened property is not yours to use. That's why. That's the point I think he's making.
No, but
you have a lien on someone on his use.
On your part,
you have an easement that allows you to use the other person's.
Yes, but because of the lien, no. He said you can't use you can't use the other guy's ownership because you have a lien. It's a lien. It's not yours.
No. Because you have the easement, but the other party has the right to say you don't have the easement anymore.
Yeah, it's a question of how you view it. But the point is that it is your shibud, meaning that you are the one. I've purchased a fundamental, fundamentally a section of the a part of the field. It's all mingled together, and he's owns. Fundamentally, a certain section of the field. And each one has a shibud, has like a lien on the other person's usage of the whole field.
Right, because normally when you have an easement, you can always use that passageway. But in this case, it's saying, yeah, you could always use it, unless the other person says, no, you can't use it anymore.
Right.
But it goes both ways.
That's why they're calling it a shibud. That's why it's called a lien.
Well, because
I get too far into the legal, but there's another
halachic principle here. Konamos,
yeah,
key in media, right. Shibud. Right. That's overriding the easement principle. But you have an easement, but right, then this trumps
the fact that someone took a nether.
Yeah.
Right. The fact that someone took a nether. So now, holy cow! No, shoot! Now even that ability to make use, right, is taken away.
That principle basically denies him the ability to use his easement on the other partner's share.
Could you, I don't want to get to whatever, but like, could you say that principle allows me to forbid him, rather than saying it, that principle allows...
Right, so you're asking...
He doesn't lose his easement, I'm exercising my lien.
So you're saying that because you own it, you could override his knocking at the easement. You could override.
Actually, right, maybe not, because the truth is konamos mafkir mide shibud is sort of saying that the konam, like the net that's taken, it overrides the lien.
It overrides the easement.
So the truth is, it sounds more like my net overrides your easement.
Right,
that's what you're saying, right? I don't know if you consult the lawyers when they use the language lien here in the notes here.
Right.
So maybe you're right. Maybe it's more. We should write them a letter. But fine. But I think we're starting to get it a little bit, right? So that's what's going on here, and this represents the opinion of the rabbis. We're gonna finish in a second. This represents the ability of the rabbis, opinion of the rabbis, right? Who hold Ein Breira, right? Since Ein Breira, so everyone's asked to go in because I own it fundamentally. You own it fundamentally, pieces of it, and we also have the ability to stop the other person, and when someone takes a net there, now you don't have the use anymore. Fine. Thus, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, however, argues that there is a validity of the principle of Breira. Thus, ordinarily, each partner may use the property not because he has a lien on his fellow share, or an easement, but because he is deemed to own the essence of the property for the time that he uses it, as explained above. We're seeing, by the way, the language of Breira being used really fundamentally as an issue of time in this case. Because again, it's a field that can't be split up, right? So even though if it's a field that can be split up, it should just be split up, right? But since it can't be split up, so then the question is, do we say Yesh Breira when for the time usage, right? So since the essence of the property is his for that time, the net of prohibiting him benefit from fellow's possessions is irrelevant, right? So that's sort of the point here, that the argument of Yesh Breira says that we don't assume that the konam in this case will impact my ability to make use of my easement in that case, because again, Yesh Breira, I can argue this is my time, and that's why I have the permission, the ability to use it. Fine.
But so if that it's, if yeah. it's your time, then it means Jonathan. If it's his time, he's not using easement; he's using his own time. He owns it fully in that hour.
Right. And that's what you're right. saying. You're saying even though
doesn't apply,
even though konamos mafkimi the yeshibud
from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Right,
because I came in at 9, right?
Right, well, so it's not I'm using the easement, I own it in that hour.
The nether that offers him from getting benefit is just irrelevant.
Right, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Exactly, it doesn't matter. It's not the konamos and I'm off giving the yeshiva. They are. But here, since we hold Yesh Breira, turns out I'm using it during my time.
Right.
Your time, not your easement time.
It is when you think that the easement is a lien, in that sense, right? Because I don't think it's a little semantics, meaning it's consistent. So they're using, because your right to use your partner's represents a lien
on their property.
It's a little.
Okay, good. All right, so this gives us an intro here, and then next week we'll finish up with the Mishnah. Okay, great job.